This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs smoothly. A special announcement as far as tomorrow's show. Looking forward to this. One of the all-time great broadcasters as far as radio is concerned, Gene Deckerhoff, the longtime voice of Florida State football and college basketball, longtime host, or excuse me, radio host and voice of the Tampa Bay Bucks. As well, Gene Deckerhoff will be joining us tomorrow just after 4, so looking forward to that right now. I'm also looking forward to our next guest, Barry Wilner, pro football writer with the Associated Press up in New York. So, Barry, with the lull before the storm, and I'm pretty sure that this week a lot different than previous Super Bowls as far as the in-between time, the championship games as far as conference play and a Super Bowl, just based on the fact that it's not the big buildup that we normally get.
I don't think we need that buildup, Johnny, and I'm kind of glad we're not seeing some of it. But there's plenty of buildup because of the people involved in this game. You'll read something about or hear something about or watch something about Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes every day this week, I'm sure.
Right.
Maybe even about Andy Reid and Bruce Arians, about the Bucs playing at home, about the Chiefs trying to repeat. There's so many angles to this game. So it may not inundate us, but it's certainly out there.
The other part, too, you know, the big thing usually for players, especially if they're playing in their very first one, you know, the big they get friends and cousins and everything else trying to get Super Bowl tickets. And obviously this year going to look a lot different than previous Super Bowls as well.
Yeah, and I think the players are probably very relieved by that, the coaches, too. So I don't think that they regret that, except that maybe their families can't go. And I, you know, obviously the Chiefs were there last year, so it helps, you know, that people in the families have seen a Super Bowl, many of them. With the Bucks, they haven't been here for a long time, although, you know, Brady's there almost every year.
Right, and speaking of that, you know, when we think about, here's Patrick Mahomes, back-to-back appearances, leading the Chiefs there as far as the offense. Tom Brady, this will be his 10th Super Bowl. Do you feel like there's one over the other that has more pressure in the sense that, you know, Patrick Mahomes wants to show that last year was no accident, and then you look at Tom Brady wanting to show that, look, he can do it with another team that's not named the Patriots?
I'd say no to that. Had the Chiefs lost last year or not gotten there last year, then I'd say the pressure would be on that team. But no, they're both after the same goal, obviously, and they both also have different backgrounds and storylines to fill out. But I don't see that either team is under more pressure than the other.
You know, we had Mike Garrett. He played with the Chiefs in that fourth Super Bowl, although at the time it was the last AFL-NFL championship game. It didn't officially become a Super Bowl until the next year, and then they did the retroactive thing. Because of what the Jets did the previous year, to me, that fourth one, it had a full embrace of what the Super Bowl was supposed to be, because until then, everybody just assumed whoever was representing the then NFL, which is now the NFC, just assumed they were going to win and that the AFL, now AFC, has so much room to catch up that it was going to be no big deal. The Jets changed that subject, and then the Chiefs made sure that everybody moving forward understood it as well.
Yeah, the Chiefs solidified the AFL with that win. And, you know, Donnie, they were a big underdog in that game, too.
Right.
And they were the better team than Minnesota. And they showed it, they dominated in that game. You know, as you look down the road, you see how many guys came out of that Chiefs team and made the Hall of Fame. That was one of the greatest teams ever.
And it's interesting you bring that up because that started the stretch with the Jets and Chiefs. 11 of the 13 during that frame as far as the Super Bowl winners came from the AFL-AFC. So everybody always assumed it was going to be the NFL. They only won twice during that period we're talking about of 13 games, and the Dallas Cowboys pulled it off both times.
Yeah, but I'm going to throw a little monkey wrench into that one, however. Four of those championships were won by the Steelers, who were originally an NFL team.
Well, you can also throw Baltimore into that mix as well, because they get beat as a member of the NFL, NFC, and then they win one as members of the AFC.
Yeah, that's right. And the Super Bowl that they won is one of the worst played Super Bowls, maybe the worst played of all of them.
I go back, you know, the Hall of Fame, we're going to get an announcement soon coming up in the next few days as far as the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You know, to me, with the players that played in the 70s, to me, that is probably the most difficult decade, mainly because of how many outstanding teams, not just above-average teams. I mean, I'm talking about Minnesota, the Dallas Cowboys, the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Oakland Raiders. And usually those kind of teams, if you're winning Super Bowls, you get rewarded with players. To win Super Bowls and championships, you have to have outstanding players. And to me, from a pure numbers standpoint, I think that when we look back, do you find that that was the case or has been the case, that it's tough to judge those players in the 70s, mainly because we had so many outstanding teams?
That's a little bit of it. Yes, that's a part of it. It's the reason that Drew Pearson is not in. I mean, this year he's been nominated as a senior, and I would expect that he'll get in. But, you know, there's a great player who is an all-decade player who has slipped through the cracks. And that happens because we're limited to five modern-era players. So guys, they use up their eligibility, not able to get in because there's so many great candidates, and that's not going to ever change. And the 70s has become a decade that has had guys who fell through the cracks.
As far as when you look, with only one game remaining as far as the 2020 season, knowing what the teams had to do, what the NFL had to do to make this all happen during a COVID-19, you know, during this pandemic, how would you sum up the sacrifices, the great planning, the decision-making to make this season a reality?
The first thing I'd say is that Dr. Alan Silt should be the NFL's MVP this year. The work that he and his staff did, the plans and procedures and protocols they came up with that have worked pretty well, better than any other sport. And remember, there was no bubble involved here either. And you've got bigger rosters than any other teams have. So that has been incredibly impressive. Then you have to really give credit to it, not so much the winning teams, but think about the losing teams that their guys stayed interested in doing whatever the protocols were. We had a lot of bad teams in the NFL this year whose seasons were over basically in October, and yet they didn't have the real breakouts. We didn't see guys just saying, you know, I don't care about the protocols anymore, we're not going anywhere anyway. You didn't see that, and that's a real that's real praiseworthy for those kind of teams. It's really very impressive what the NFL has pulled off. And, you know, let's just hope the next season is needed to be played in the same manner.
Barry, when we think about, you know, there were several players that opted out as far as 2020. You know, for those that did play, to me, when you have to face adversity as a group and you overcome it, maybe you didn't enjoy the success that you wanted to, but at least you went through something as a collective group. You've got a certain bond. Will it be tough for those players who opted out to get that closeness back again when they join these teams as far as 2021?
That's a good question, Johnny. I really that's a difficult one because I think it depends very much on the teams and how close the teams are. And remember, there are guys who opted out who are coming back to entirely new coaching staff.
Right.
And, you know, who don't know them. There are some guys who opted out who are, you know, closer to the end of their career than the beginning. So that's going to be a difficult transition for them coming back. I don't think that any of the guys who opted out will be at a disadvantage as far as, well, we don't want you back type of thing. I think that the doors will be open for these guys. But it could be a big adjustment. That's a great point.
If you're a fan of football but don't have a favorite NFL team and then decide in 2021, all right, this is the year, which is a better choice? A Jacksonville team with a lot of money to spend as far as the salary cap, new head coach in Urban Meyer, probably going to draft Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback coming out of Clemson, or would you look at an Indianapolis Colts team, a lot of success as far as 2020, a lot of money as well to be able to spend as far as a salary cap, but not quite sure what that quarterback position looks like? Which two would you go with?
Well, you're starting from entirely different. You know, that's like having a horse race where one team is running a mile and a half and the other one's running a mile and a quarter.
Right.
The Colts are starting from such an advantage. Let's just start with the coach. And Frank Reich has proven himself as an assistant coach and as a head coach in the NFL. Urban Meyer has to prove he can do it in the NFL. That's number one. Number two, as you mentioned, each team has tons of money to spend, and one of them will have their quarterback for sure as they take Trevor Lawrence. The Colts are going to look for a more established quarterback, I'm sure, and probably somebody who could fit in more quickly in the NFL. I think Lawrence would be a great quarterback, but maybe not next season. So, you know, I think the Colts start from way ahead of where the Jaguars are.
If you're the Colts, obviously Deshaun Watson, that's not going to happen. I mean, the Houston Texans would be absolutely crazy to make a trade with Indianapolis. However, you know, Matthew Stafford available. If you're also Indianapolis, would you at least have some conversations with the front office of the Packers?
No, forget about the Packers. Aaron Rodgers not going anywhere. That stuff is doing so blown out of proportion. Maybe if the next season, Green Bay might consider, because then you get close to the end of the contract. But the money is so prohibitive in these sort of trades with these big-name guys. Even a guy like Jared Goff is going to cost the Rams so much money to trade him, and a team that brings him on so much money to pay him, and also whatever you have to give up in a trade. So Stafford's a nice fit because the Lions have agreed to trade him. The Colts have a lot of room for a guy like that, and clearly the Colts have the ammunition to go around Stafford. I mean, they may get back their best running back. He didn't play all season. They could use one more receiver for sure, but that's a very solid team. So that I could see Stafford winding up there. I know some people think he could wind up in Carolina. Some people think he could wind up in New England. There's a lot of places that he could wind up.
I saw speculation in some of these mock drafts, speaking of New England, that the Patriots aren't going to wait around to second round or whatever, that there's some that think that Mac Jones, who led Alabama to a national title with his cast of teammates, he could be the answer as far as the Patriots. Do you see the Patriots making a move like that in the first round?
I don't even try to predict what Bill Belichick's going to do. I'm going to steer away from that question, but they need another quarterback. There's no way in my mind that Cam Newton will be back there next year.
Barry, always appreciate our chats with you. It's going to be fun to talk with you again next week. If you're not doing so, the best site, here's the thing. Let the listeners know before we let you go, Barry, what they can expect with pro32.ap.org.
Well, we've already ramped up our Super Bowl coverage. We're running 3 or 4 stories every day. Some of them very original ideas. Today we ran a story about the two old guys who are coaching these teams and how that's run against the trend in the NFL of hiring these young offensive coaches mostly. So, you know, that's a real interesting topic, and we've got a ton more that are coming out just like it.
Well, Barry, we appreciate you as always. Have a great week. Be safe, and look forward to talking to you again soon.
You bet, Johnny. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Barry Wilner, Pro